Good to see everyone here. We're going to be doing some things off and on in the 23rd Psalm. I think it's much needed information in the 23rd Psalm. As we come to understand the bigger picture and more wide perspective and spiritual perspective of life, and these things they're going to make us very happy, very joyous, and this is what's needed. We don't want to lose sight of these things. We don't want the world or anything that goes on in the world to cause us to lose our joy and to lose what we've worked for. We can't allow the world that privilege to destroy us like that. And so when we might get down, so to speak, Psalm 23, I think, is a really good text. But it's, you know, on the surface, it's a good text. On the surface, it's understandable, it's enjoyable, it's quite short, you know, only six or so sentences there. But it's on the surface, it's readily understandable and readily applicable, and we see the ideas there, and we can all make sense of it. But the reality is, it does go deeper than probably things that we commonly think about. And that's because of another reality, that this was written by a shepherd, talking about a shepherd with his sheep. And, you know, probably not a lot of us have a whole lot of experience with being a shepherd. Or even a lot of experience with sheep. Some of us might have a little bit. I certainly don't. So when I read the 23rd Psalm, I read it through my eyes and through my perspective, and I see truth there, and I can take comfort in the truths that I find, but I certainly do not see the depths of the words as if I were a shepherd who has been around sheep and has seen these things, because that's David. David as a shepherd, this is his understanding of the idea of a shepherd and his sheep. David was a shepherd literally of sheep. And he was so for a good number of years. He tended his father's flock since he was fairly young. And he was a good shepherd. There were times when he had to fight off some big cats, you know, that had come in. There were times that he had to fight and kill, you know, a bear. And so he was a protector of sheep. He understood. He wasn't one that would flee from danger because of the care and love that he had for his sheep. And so he was a good shepherd in that way. We can tell from the scriptures that he was a tremendously good shepherd. Then later on, he ends up being the shepherd of Israel, in a sense, as he became the king. And he had to lead these people now, this flock of Israel. He had to lead them in the ways of the Lord as well. So David's life of shepherding was just never ending. He started with sheep and ended up, you know, leading a flock of men. But at any rate, we see here in Psalm 23, he begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." So here you have a shepherd, and he says, "I have a shepherd too. All right, I'm not at the top here. I have a shepherd, which means he's confessing himself to be sheep, right? And so, as he says here, the Lord is my shepherd. He is placing himself in that position of being sheep within a flock, and that there is one who shepherds him. Now, what does that mean to us? Probably something different than what it meant to David, because, as I said, his knowledge is tremendous on this particular subject, and we may not be very good about this, may not be around this kind of thing. As I said before, I never have myself. I've got a couple books in my library that have been tremendously helpful to me, of people that have been around these things and do know quite a bit. And one's done a lot of research on this, and I think the book is called Manners and Customs of the Bible Lands. And there's a chapter or so on this particular subject about how in that part of the world and in those times, how shepherds behaved and what they did with their flocks. Another book that I have is called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Or maybe, actually, I think it's called... it's called something like that. Anyway, and in there, the man himself had spent many years as a shepherd in Africa. And he has very intimate knowledge. And he talks about the 23rd Psalm, comparing it to the knowledge he has of being a shepherd and the kind of tremendous intimate care and love that he had in tending for his sheep. So I might reference, you know, I will be referencing some of these things throughout some of our studies here of the 23rd Psalm. I think it'll be very helpful to us. I know it's been helpful to me to better understand this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, right there, we don't even have to finish that whole verse. Just the Lord is my shepherd. That statement alone is really all we need for this lesson, kind of more of an introductory lesson of sorts. But honestly, that one statement is enough for a whole sermon, if not more. I'm not going to do any more on it, I don't think. But we could do more with it, I'm sure. But I'm going to be a little bit more concise with it. But just thinking that one statement, the Lord is my shepherd, and understanding all that that entails is tremendous. And oftentimes we read this, and we probably read the 23rd Psalm many times in our life. We might be able to recite it. You know, young children oftentimes, you know, can recite it. And so we go about our life, and yes, you know, the words are beautiful. But to just stop there and contemplate one little statement after one little statement, not even taking it as a whole, but looking at it one by one, the Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean to us? What does that mean for us? And when we think of God as a shepherd, we think of the 23rd Psalm. We might think of Jesus in John 10 where he says, I'm the good shepherd. But the reality of it is that there are many occasions in which God talks in this way or has revealed himself in this way or through other individuals in this way. And that the 23rd Psalm is not the original. It's not the first time that this has been dealt with. In fact, from the very beginning text, from the book of Genesis, you have Jacob, or Israel, that is. You have the God of Israel, the God of Jacob. You have Jacob blessing his children, and he talks to Joseph. And notice what he says in Genesis 49 and verse 23. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him, but his bow remained in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And so what is being dealt with here in this text is this discussion in the blessing of Joseph that, you know, Joseph, he's persecuted. He's always been, you know, persecuted. His brothers, you know, one by one, his brothers are like archers, you know, and then you have different people in Egypt that messed him up as well. And he lived a life of persecution. You have Potiphar, you know, and Potiphar's wife, and that horrid situation. But what is said here about Joseph is they shot at him with bows, you know, with arrows, figuratively. They hated him, like his brothers hated him and tried to kill him, you know, thought to kill him, ended up selling him into slavery. It says, but his bow remained in strength. And notice where his strength came from. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And here, these names are applied to the mighty God as the shepherd and the stone of Israel. He's a stone. He is a strength. He is a solid foundation to put your hope upon. And that's what Joseph did. And he went through difficult times in his life, but what is being pointed out here in the text is that Joseph always had the strength to do what was right, had the strength to do what was needed and necessary. He had strength, and that strength was given to him by his shepherd. And his shepherd was someone much stronger than him. His shepherd was the mighty God. And so there we have the first time that God is described in that way of as a shepherd that is tending to the needs of one who is of the flock that is beaten down continually, and he has enemies all around, but his shepherd comes onto the scene and he lifts him back up. He gives him strength. He nurtures him and nourishes him. And this is what God did to Joseph. And you see how mighty Joseph became in his life. You see how strong he became. He was one of the most powerful men on planet Earth, being second only to the Pharaoh of Egypt and that empire at the time. It's just tremendous. We go further into the scriptures, we see other comments about how God is Israel's shepherd. Psalm 80 and verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Here, there's a beautiful opening to the psalm, but notice the meat of it, the information that's being given is that this is the one who leads Joseph. You know, and that's funny, you know, because, of course, this is long after Joseph's time. And Joseph here is just a synonym for Israel, for God's people. But, you know, we just finished talking about Joseph back in Genesis 49, and what was God literally to the man Joseph, but he was his shepherd. And here we are again with the descendants of Joseph, and God is shepherding them, the whole flock. And notice the description here is of a physical people on a plot of land, and they are a flock. And you have the shepherd dwelling between the cherubim. Right? These were the days of a tabernacle. These were the days in which God dwelt in the tent among the people. And so there is a very visual aid there. We've talked about that visual aid in other times, but The reality is that Israel could look to the house of God, and there he was, you know, right there in sight. There was his house, along with their houses. And there was his presence, and they knew he dwelt there. He dwelt between the cherubim there in the most holy place of the tabernacle. And so there's comfort. There is comfort for the people of Israel, knowing that there's the shepherd in the field with them. He's right there. And we've got to look at that from spiritual sight. We can't look for a tent. We can't look for a temple or any kind of tabernacle nowadays. That's not how it works. But so we have to have the spiritual sight. We have to be able to see things by faith to realize that the shepherd dwells among us and is present with us. And he leads us and he guides us as any good shepherd would. And he is a good shepherd. Over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10, Isaiah is talking about the greatness of God in the context. And he says, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." Just think about that picture for a moment. God is being described here as one of great stature, of great strength and muscular might. And he has such a strong arm. You know, he can take care of the situations among the flock. He can deal with the enemies. He can deal with the predators, the wolves, the cougars, you know, the panthers, all of that. And here he is, and he is so strong. But notice, he gathers his lambs with his arms. You know, he carries them in his bosom, and he gently leads those who are with young. You see the care that he has. And so he is a capable shepherd. That is what Isaiah is describing here. He is a capable shepherd, a loving shepherd. He can handle the big situations and the big picture stuff and all the terrible things. But there he is also with you know, the lambs who are pregnant, and he can gently lead those. He makes sure they're slow and they're comfortable and all those kinds of things. This idea of gently leading one who is with young. One of the things I've read about is the fact that if a sheep are frightened, of course, you know, if one starts running, they all just go crazy, you know, running. But one of the things, and it may not be anything, and they just got spooked. But you know, if one who is pregnant, if they get spooked in any way, what happens is immediately they abort the baby in order for them to be able to run. So you know, this idea of you know, when you have these animals and they're near to bear young, you know, it's the shepherd has to take incredible care to make sure they are comfortable and you know, not spooked in any way by, you know, no dangers around. And so we see here God, he is strong, and he feeds his people. He feeds his flock like a shepherd. He gathers them into his arms. He protects them. So this isn't just a Psalm 23 picture. This is a whole biblical picture of God. Over in Psalm 79, verse 13, the psalmist says, "So we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. He is a shepherd that is good. And we see the sheep turning to praise him, to honor him. They know that when there's difficulty around them, they're in a dark valley and things are getting concerning. They see the shepherd right there. They realize it's all right. It's going to be fine. Over in the New Testament, I referenced earlier the idea of the Good Shepherd. That's what we see in John chapter 10. And I'll read a little bit of it here. This isn't the whole of the text, but we'll read a little bit of it and just see that this is through and through the pattern of the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, that God is to be considered in this way about our daily life. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. One of the accounts I read was of a shepherd pretty young in the business. Woke up one morning, six of his lambs dead. Cougar had gotten. And, you know, he wasn't a good shepherd. Not at that point at any rate. He became a good shepherd. But he said from that moment on, never. He said never again. And so from that moment, he started sleeping with a rifle in his hands. And, you know, he was up at any little noise out there with the animals. He was up and ready to go. So we see here Jesus talking about being the good shepherd. He talks about the hireling. Hireling, he's going to sleep through the night, you know. The hireling, he's not going to miss any sleep. Hireling sees a wolf coming. He's not going to get involved with that. The good shepherd will lay down his life and did lay down his life for the sheep. So, you know, in the original Greek, the words being used here, literally, it's funny, the definite article is used twice. And in Greek, definite article, it's not like English. We use the word the all the time. We have no problem using the word the. We throw it around all over the place. In Greek, they do not throw that word around. If you see a definite article, it means something. It absolutely has meaning and depth to it. And here it's used twice. Jesus uses it twice. So, you know, literally, obviously this isn't how we speak in English, so it's not written this way in the text. But literally, what he said is, in Greek, is the shepherd, the good. And so it's really driving home there. That he is the shepherd, he is the good shepherd. And so when we think of this idea back in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, what does that mean for my life? What does that mean for my existence? If he is my shepherd, it means that he is there. He is present. And he is watching over the situation. You know, shepherds do all that they can to see ahead of before the sheep see anything going on. It becomes very difficult to manage them if they get stirred up. So a shepherd is watching over the sheep. He's watching over the situation all around them and things that might be lurking in the bushes the sheep might not know about, but he's watching for those things. And he looks for the enemy, and they not so much. So The idea of the Lord is my shepherd, this statement demands that, and Jesus, of course, confirming this, I am the good shepherd. This is admitting that he is there. And it's not that he just considers us sometimes. It's not that he has a big, big world to look over. So, you know, our prayers, you know, are they heard? How much of them are heard? You know, will he answer this or that? Does he have time to answer this or that? How much does he see of me? You know, how much does he consider my life and the circumstances around me? The scriptures are presenting the fact that he sees it all, he does it all. If the Lord is my shepherd, this means that he is daily managing our life. That's what any shepherd does, especially a good shepherd, which God is the good shepherd. And so he is going to notice everything going on. He is going to notice everything that's happening in our life daily. Another thing about, you know, a shepherd, especially a good shepherd, is how they tend to their sheep, not just on an 8-hour day, you know, 8-hour work day, but it is a day and night caregiving situation. It just does not end. There is constantly something going on. There's constantly something that is wrong. There's predators, fences, you know, to be mended. There's one that's going astray. There's one that escapes over to another flock. There's problems and turmoil within the flock, among the sheep. There might be some difficulties and some bullying going on, and on. It's just, it never ends. And so the idea of the Lord is my shepherd, we must recognize here that a statement like that tells us that he is our caregiver and tending to us daily, nightly. And that there's no end. There's no end to that task. And so from this we see, as a shepherd, there's going to be guidance. He's going to be leading us. And of course, he has provided his word for us in that way. So we have guidance in that way. But we also have a whole world around us that we have a shepherd that is working in our favor, you know, and we should recognize that about the world around us, and is that God is for us, you know, as Paul tells the Romans. God is for us, and He is our ally, but he is so much more than our ally. He is our shepherd. And so the management of our life certainly goes further than just what he has guided us to do. All right, we know as his sheep what to do. He has done his work as the good shepherd to provide us clear, plain language, understandable information to be able to live our life. You know, that's what Peter says, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so we have that guidance by all means, but there's more to it than that, you know. We have our prayers being answered. We have the situations of the day, and God guiding us through these places. And he might guide us through the darker valleys. You know, we'll get to that at some point. But, you know, Psalm 23, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And we think, oh, it's talking about he's coming to the end of his life. He's about to die. actually, it's not even close to what he's saying. He's talking there in context, and according to the words and the definitions of the words, he's talking there about the dark times of his life. He has to go through those dark valleys, those valleys that are threatening of his life and threatening of death. But God guides him right on through to those things. So we know of our guidance from the Word, but we also must recognize that the Lord is my shepherd, that we understand what we must do day to day from the Word, but that also as we go through various challenges of our life, that He is working to lead us through those dark times. And so we have support from Him, comfort from Him. We have nourishment, you know, which certainly greatly comes from the Word. And also we have no fear. Sheep know, a flock knows when it has a good shepherd. And one of the things that's just astounding about sheep that I've recently learned about is that if they're out there, they're kind of getting concerned, you know, it's the middle of the night, they heard a sound, maybe they're not ready to start darting off running, but they're alert, they're worried, and they're looking around, and the shepherd comes out of his tent or house or what have you, the shepherd's out there, the second they see him, they're okay, you know, it's fine. And that's where we need to be in our faith in God. You know, things are going to hit us in this life, dark things, and it'll be turmoil. But if we have the kind of faith that we ought to have, that faith will be able to see what is unseeable to the human eye, and that is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He is right there. And so when there is something concerning, you know, this is what we see all throughout the Scriptures. Jesus says, don't be anxious for anything. You know, Paul, you know, talks about don't worry. You know, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you, because He's a good shepherd. So there's this, as I said, this is just kind of some introductory thoughts, and here in the near future, if the Lord wills, and we can look at some of these things in Psalm 23, and I think it's needed information, especially for us nowadays and the times which we're in, and we don't know what, you know, what's going on, and there's a lot of turmoil out there, and so it's really critical, I think, for us to really sit down and dig a little deeper into this. And we'll get down to some specifics as Psalm 23 begins to get more specific itself. So I appreciate your attention. May you look at Psalm 23 with some fresh eyes and fresh thoughts and start to consider some things that maybe we haven't given a lot of consideration to or never have considered before. If there's anyone here this